Jesus is God's gift to the world according to John 3:16. However, we discover in the scriptures the Holy Spirit is God's gift to his children. In Acts 19:2, Paul asked an interesting question. He said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Who is the Holy Spirit? Now join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church International family in this part two message of The Father's Promised Gift.
Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maid servant, I will pour my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank God for his word. And we welcome our online audience as well as our TV audience as well. Now, we talked about the fact that, thank you, Lord. You see, go with me again. Let's read a number of scriptures here as well. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. He says, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, Jesus, before he left, go with me again to John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for 2 weeks." No. He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, I like how he puts it in the Amplified, and we talked about this, and let's go a step further here. He says, and the Amplified, Classic Amplified, John 14, 16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Notice, and he breaks it down here, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Jesus was getting ready to go, and naturally that his disciples were very sad. His disciples were very sad that he was leaving them. And then he said to them, "I will give you another comforter." The word "another" there in the Greek is allos, which means another of the same kind. No wonder Jesus said to them, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go, he will not come. But when I go, another just like me will come." And this time you will remain with you forever. In the earth, I am only in one place at one time, but I'm sending you somebody who will be with you forever. Hallelujah. He will be with you when you wake up. He will be with you when you are in the car. He will be with you when you are on the job. He will be with you as you are out and about. He will be with you all the time. So thanks be to God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus with us everywhere. Hallelujah. It makes all the difference. I will not leave you as orphans. He says he will come to you as counselor, as helper, as intercessor, as advocate, as strengthener, and if you need anything else, I stand by. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And thank God he has come. And before he left, he told his disciples that wait for the promise of the Father. Don't get caught. Don't leave without power. When he comes, you will receive power. That word there is dunamis. That is power that is able to, like dynamite, able to reproduce. You see, this is the age of the Holy Spirit. He is here. And he's here in your personal life as a helper. To help you in life. To help you in any area of your life. As you walk down in this journey of life, the Holy Spirit has come to help you. It makes all the difference. To realize that you can have Jesus with you all the time through the person of the Holy Spirit. And like we indicated, if one of you said, if you had Jesus with you every day, will you wake up in the morning and ignore him and say, Jesus? You probably didn't say anything to him. You get up, take a shower and go on your way. Jesus, I'll catch up with you later. And you go throughout your day and you totally ignore the fact that he's with you. And as you run into difficult situations, as you have issues throughout the whole day, you totally ignore him. Then you come back from work, take your shoes off, get some dinner, turn on the TV, and all the whole time, Jesus is with you. Totally ignored. Then you get ready to sleep, and yet you just go to sleep. Wow. And said, Jesus, you know, it's been a very difficult day. I'm so exhausted. I want to sleep. I will sleep and we'll catch up again in the morning. Totally ignore him. But God, that's how the Holy Spirit feels sometimes. You see, in the beginning, Adam and Eve could have conversations with God. And God came in the cool of the day, even after they fell, and was looking for them. God was looking for a family. God was looking for fellowship. God was looking to walk closely with us. That is why he sent the Holy Spirit. So when we walk in life and ignore the Holy Spirit, like he's no one. You see, the Holy Spirit has emotions. He has emotions. And It's so important to realize that he can be grieved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Notice what the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. He has emotions. And can't be grieved. He's a divine personality. Don't grieve him. So that's how sometimes he feels. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let's go a step further as well. The Holy Spirit is a divine personality. He has intelligence. And notice what the Bible says about him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, starting from verse 9, he says that, As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Spirit of God knows the deep things that is in the heart of God. And wants to reveal them to us. So as we walk in close relationship with him, he begins to reveal those things to us. But now, going back to our text in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, verse 14, he talks about what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 2, verse 14, thank you, Lord. He says, thank you, Lord. Verse 17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. I want us to repeat that phrase. I will pour out my Spirit. Repeat it after me. I will pour out my Spirit. You see, we need power in our lives. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. So many times, people run around when we run into difficult situations, looking for solution out of different places. But he comes into our lives to empower us. You see, people in the world sometimes you see, God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Verse 17 says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You see, he's using a natural thing to illustrate something here. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. So many times in the natural, people won't get drunk and try to forget about their problems. But the more they get drunk, when they get sober, they realize that the issues are still there. They get drunk and get a hangover, and they may end up with a hangover. You may end up with a hangover or headache, and when you wake up, the problems are still there. But he's saying here, I don't want you to be drunk with wine, but be drunk with somebody else. Be filled with the Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, all the anxiety, all the worry, all the hopelessness, all the despair goes away. He takes over our lives and fills it with the joy and the peace of God. And this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, will be your portion. If you believe that, say, I receive it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then he goes on to give us the characteristics of the Spirit-filled life. You see, he says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to speak. And he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you begin to speak and you always have a song in your heart. You wake up in the morning and you acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Say good morning to Him. Acknowledge Him and then you begin to sing. Oh, you always have a song in your heart. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after you. The song naturally flows out. But notice he says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, Israel had the Psalms, the book of Psalms, and it consists of five books. And when we read the book of Psalms, it encourages us because those were songs that God gave to David. And sometimes it blesses us because those are the same things that we go through. But when he talks about spiritual songs, he's not talking about songs that you get out of a hymn book. He's talking about songs that the Holy Spirit gives you, and sometimes and it applies to where you are. Spiritual songs. And as you begin to sing those songs, you move on to a higher level. You move on to another place. You get comforted. You begin to be filled with hope again. Be filled with the Spirit speaking, singing and making melody in your heart. And then he says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are naturally thankful. The thanksgiving comes with it. We will not grumble and complain about where we are, but we begin to thank God. Lord, I thank you for my life. Thank you for the strength that I enjoy. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for all that you have done in my life and continue to do. Giving thanks is a characteristic of the Spirit-filled life. Now, he said a similar thing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He's repeating the same thing to a different church. That means it's very important. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Is that not the same thing that he was saying to the Ephesians? It's a very, very similar language. Number one, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you. Think on the word of God. Think about the word of God. Think it. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. You see, the word that dwells in you is the word that talks back to you. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You begin to sing with your understanding and you begin to sing in the Spirit to the Lord. Then he says, whatever you do, give thanks to God. Again, the thanksgiving goes with the Spirit-filled life. But you begin to have a song in your heart. You sing to the Lord. You sing with your understanding. You sing in other tongues. You sing in the Spirit. You are so full of the Spirit that all these things are coming out of you. You are not grumbling and complaining in life. No, you are full of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then the next thing that he says in Acts chapter 2, thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 2, he begins to talk about the fact that when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, verse 17, he says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. You see, the Holy Spirit communicates with us as well through dreams and visions. He begins to communicate with us, shows us things to come in our life, shows us the way out in what we are supposed to do through dreams and visions. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you begin to dream one more time. You begin to dream one more time. You begin to see the plan of God for your life. Don't count yourself out. Don't say you are too young or you are too old. He says your sons and daughters will begin to prophesy. Then he says your old men will begin to see vision. My Lord and my God, Moses was 80 years old when God called him and took him to go and deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. No one is too young. No one is too old. God is not done with you yet. He's just getting started with you. Your life is not over yet. Oh my Lord, by the Spirit of God, he begins to take you over and he begins to do his works through you. My Lord, no matter where you are right now, I have come to assure you by the word of God that as you yield your life to the Spirit of God, may he take over your life and begin to use it for his glory. May he take over your life and give you a fresh dream. May he take over your life and give you a fresh vision. Begin to dream that you're to today is better than yesterday. Your tomorrow will be better than today. If God's hand is on your life, you are going to another level. If your God's hand is on your life, he's not done with you yet. My Lord and my God, he's just getting started with you. And this morning, I see you enter the fullness of God's plan for your life. I see you enter into all that God has for your life. Oh, man may write you off and say, it is over. It will never happen. This miracle will never happen. This dream will never be fulfilled. But I've come to announce to you by the word of God that it's not over yet. If God is in your life, today is a new day. Today is a new beginning. He's just getting started with you. If you believe that, say yes! Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Begin to dream and to see your family saved. Begin to dream and to see yourself healed. Begin to dream and to see yourself blessed. Begin to dream and to see yourself walking in the fullness of God's best for your life. You see, even in the natural, when a train gets on the track, and has a certain destination, that train doesn't turn backward. It is going to that destination. In the same way, we must not look at our past. We must look at that which God has for our lives. We must look forward. If the train doesn't turn back, then we as human beings that created the train, when we turn back, that's an error. It's an error. Look forward to that which God has for your life. I pray that God gives you fresh dreams and visions in your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit has come to guide us into God's very best for our lives. Now, the Apostle Paul, you see, in Acts chapter 16, verse 8, he says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them. Originally, they were going a certain direction. Verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Then at night, God gave him a vision and said, don't go here, go this way. I pray that God will give you a fresh vision. You see, the Apostle Paul was one that really wanted to fulfill the plan of God for his life. And he went through so many difficulties in the pursuit of taking the gospel to his generation. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, when he comes, you will receive power to be my witnesses. You will receive a power to be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit comes to give us power. Everyone say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Say louder, power.
Power.
Power to be his witnesses. Power to witness to the fact that Jesus is alive. Power to witness to the fact that we don't serve a dead God, we serve a living God. The same thing that he did yesterday, he will do it today. The same thing that he did yesterday, he's not dead. He will do those miracles. And if you believe it, you will see the same thing in your life. So we should make that our goal. The Lord, I want to be an effective witness for you. Everywhere that I find myself, I want to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I refuse to give up. I will be filled with the Holy Spirit. I will go in the strength of God. He says in Acts chapter 20, thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says about his life. Thank you, Father. He says, but none of these things move me. I like that phrase in the Bible. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. None of the tests, none of the trials, none of the difficulties that I go through, none of these things move me. God has a plan for your life. There is nothing like God not having a plan for anyone. There's nothing like that. God has a plan for your life. But we go through tribulations. He knew that tribulations awaited him where he was going. But he said, none of these things move me. That should be a phrase that you should familiarize yourself with. None of these things move me. I want to finish my race with joy. And this morning, I see you that you will finish your race with joy. You will accomplish and do all that God has planned for your life. Nothing will be able to stop you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I see you moving forward. I see you entering God's very best. None of these things will move you. There is a classic story in Ezekiel chapter 37. Thank you, Lord. No matter the difficulties that you go through, God can take it and turn it around and use it for his glory. Ezekiel chapter 37. Thank you, Lord. He says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and break flesh upon you, cover you with skin and breathe in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. In Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Oh, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God, none of these things move me. Maybe in this season you are going through a dry season. Maybe it seems that you are in the wilderness. It seems that it is impossible. He came to him and he said, son of man, can these bones live? Oh, your question might be different. Will I be healed? Will I be delivered? Will I have peace? Will I have joy? Oh, but I can assure you by the Spirit of God that when the Spirit of God comes, oh, he can turn any dead circumstance and bring it back to life. And so this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak the life of God by the Spirit of God into any dead circumstance of your life, any situation in your life that is supposed to be alive, that is dead. In the mighty name of Jesus, by the Spirit of God, may it come back to life. Oh, I speak life into your family. I speak life into your finances. I speak life into your body. Any dead organ in your body, in the mighty name of Jesus, may it come back alive. I said, 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 may it come back alive. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Oh, can these bones live? Can this dead circumstance live? Oh, sickness is the dead process started. But in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak life to that body in the mighty name of Jesus. To that organ, to that part of your body, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray, my prayer is that the Spirit of God will take us over. He hasn't left his office. Back at the turn of the 20th century, in 1900, on December 31st, a group of people gathered in Topeka, Kansas, and began to pray for an outpouring of the Spirit. And the very next day, on a New Year's Eve service, and then the very next day, one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues like the disciples did in the beginning. And Brother Parham, who was leading that, he left and went to Houston, Texas, and carried that revival with him. And then Reverend Seymour left that place and went to Los Angeles, and there began, in 1906, began the Azusa Street Revival. And for 12 hours a day, these people gathered and began to pray. People were filled with the Holy Spirit. People were healed. And this revival began to spread all throughout the whole world. And we are here, and right now the Spirit of God is doing the same thing that he did in the beginning. And I can assure you, the devil is in big trouble, because there is a remnant of people in the earth who are full of the Holy Ghost, who are full of power. And beginning with you this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, as you yield your life to God, oh, he will begin to use you for his glory. He says, one more time, I will shake the earth, not only the heaven, but the earth also. Oh, my Lord and my God, we are gearing up for an amazing time in the body of Christ. It is happening. It is happening. And it will continue. be filled with the Spirit. But he says that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began. We also begin when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, God wants to fill you to overflowing, to give you your prayer language that you can communicate with him on another level. And then he also says, thank you, Lord. I mean, think about it. Peter, timid Peter, when Jesus Christ was getting ready to be crucified, he ran away. He denied him. But when the Holy Spirit came on him that day, my Lord, the Bible says that when he spoke, the people were cut to the heart and they began to say, what must we do to be saved? He received boldness to testify. And that very day, 3,000 people were added to the church and were baptized. Imagine baptizing 3,000 people. That's a lot of people to baptize. But Peter received boldness. Not only did they speak with tongues, but they received boldness. You see, the Holy Spirit longs to manifest himself in the body of Christ, in our midst. I remember when I was not long after I was filled with the Spirit of God. One day I was praying and I was very shy. You see me like this, you think I've always been like this. No, I didn't start out this way. I was the one that couldn't stand before anybody to say a word. No, if you ask me, no, look for somebody else. This, not me. I don't talk about people. But one day, when I went to school, the church was praying for boldness. And I began to pray also. We are talking along these lines. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they received boldness. And so I said, Lord, give me boldness. This same boldness that they are talking about. We see, I want to be bold. I don't want to be shy. I don't want to be timid. I want to be bold. And then they started dividing us in groups, and then we'll go out in the evenings and testify. And I started doing that. And the first time I spoke the word of God boldly, and then that person gave their lives to God. That's how I got started. I didn't always be like this. No, I wasn't always like this. And then one day I was in the chapel and I was praying, and they started teaching about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not only does he want you to speak in tongues, but he wants to manifest himself through you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I was praying in the hall chapel, and we used to have morning devotions when we get to class in the morning. Before we start the first teacher comes in high school for the lesson, we will pray. We'll pray. So I asked God, I want to do that. Now let me start with the class. That's the people that I go to class with. So I said, God, help me. Let me be bold. I want to lead prayer in the morning and share the word of God when we go to class in the morning. Help me. Give me the boldness. And one day I was praying. And as I was praying, I this is my first encounter with the Spirit of God along those lines. I'm praying in other tongues. I'm praying for boldness. The Lord help me to do this. And then on the inside, I heard that when you go to class this morning and you speak, say that there is somebody in this class, your mother, you've heard news that your mother is sick. This is my first encounter with that. And naturally, if I didn't do it, I won't be standing here today. Because if I say it and nothing happens, then I'm in big trouble. If there's no one there like that, I'm in trouble. But I prayed for boldness. And I said, Lord, help me. When I stood up, I began to be, I was able. That was my first encounter. All the timidity and the shyness went away. And I was able to lead the class in prayer. Then after that, I repeated to them. I said, God said, there is somebody here. You have heard news that your mother is at home and is very sick. If it's you are that person, raise your hands. And that young man lifted up his hand. I said, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not just hearing voices. I didn't hear an audible voice. It came on my inside, in me. And he lifted up his hands. And we prayed for the healing of his mother. That was my first encounter with that. The point I'm making to you is the Holy Spirit is alive to the glory of God. He's still alive in the earth. He's the same yesterday, and he still wants to manifest his gifts in this season and in our lives. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, so that you can be bold to testify. You can be bold to witness. And so this morning he says, Acts chapter 2 verse 39, he says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our, as many as the Lord our God will call. Will call. The promise. What is the promise? The promise that they experience in right there in the beginning, Acts chapter 2, where they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. You see, you communicate with God on another level. You see, when you are praying in your natural language, you just run short of words. God, it's like a baby who learns to talk and uses few words, but baby language. Just, what are you saying? You as an adult, and we try to learn baby language. But when you are filled with the Spirit of God and begin to speak in other tongues as he gives you utterance, you enter another level of your walk with God. You begin to communicate. And he says that this promise is not just for a select few. It's not just for those back there in the beginning when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's for you and I. It's for you and I. Paul said, I will pray with my understanding, with my mind, with my natural language, and then I'll also pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray both ways. This promise is for everybody. And so I want you to desire to be filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gives you utterance, and to receive his help. I pray that he will be more real to you than the people that you live with. He will be more real to you in your life. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, this is the Apostle Paul. He did a lot of work for God. He says, for he who speaks, verse 2, in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirits, he speaks mysteries. Another translation says, he speaks divine secrets to God. And every time in the book of Acts that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, at the same, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is your natural mind. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. That is what he was telling the Colossians and Ephesians. Singing with your understanding and singing spiritual songs. He's going to sing both ways. He's going to pray both ways. In another place, he says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. In the same 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So important that speaking and praying as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. Acts chapter 10, verse 44, It says, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word of God. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. He had to take a vision for Peter to go to the Gentiles. But the Gentiles also received the Holy Spirit when he fell on them. They began to speak in other tongues, like in the beginning. Then they answered, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. But the point here is, when the Holy Spirit fell on these Gentiles, the same experience that they had in the beginning, those people had the same experience. And this morning, God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you ask for God to give you the Holy Spirit, he won't give you something else. He will give you the Holy Spirit to overflow. And you will begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. In your personal life, you can begin to pray and communicate with God on another level.
We trust this message was a blessing. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.